He is risen. Caught you off guard there, but that's okay. What a glorious day to be able to gather here as the saints, to be able to lift our voices, to be able to praise God for this wonderful gift of a risen Savior to redeem sinners like us. Today's scripture text will be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Next week, we will pick up again with our walk through the book of Judges. And yes, we will deal with the final chapter of Jephthah. But this week, we have taken a detour through the wonderful words of the Apostle Paul. And so if you have your scriptures, we'll be reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read the first 28 verses and then pick up at verse 51. So hear the inspired word of God. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared also to me. I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but it was the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under His feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that He is accepted who puts all things in subjection under Him. When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subjected to Him who put all things in subjection under Him, that God may be all in all. And dropping down to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will raise imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So ends the reading of God's holy word. Perhaps 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the most foundational chapters of the New Testament, because it tells of the central event of biblical history. It helps us understand the implications of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Quite frankly, it deals with the core truths of Christianity. Christianity is not Christianity without the resurrection of Christ. Paul's argument is, quite frankly, pretty simple. Without Christ's resurrection, Christianity is not Christianity. It makes no sense. He says, we're to be pitied, people, if we're following all of this and Christ has not risen. So let's slow down this morning. And I know often at this time of year we think, oh yes, we have the resurrection, and we look at the cross and the crown of thorns, and we look at the stone that was rolled away. And we see all of these symbols, but slow down and remember the hope that this text gives us in living everyday life. Notice how Paul in this passage starts by reminding us of the importance of the power of the gospel. He goes back to the gospel that he preached, that God gave him to preach to believers. It's the same gospel that we have. It's the gospel that, as Paul says, the believers have received and on which they live and which they stake their hope. What about you? Do you stake your life and your hope upon these truths? Notice what he says there in verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what also I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, that's Jesus' brother, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. Notice how Paul is staking the basis of Christianity, the basis of our faith, on a historical event. But it's a supernatural historical event. And that work of Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, is the key to our faith. Because notice how down in 17 he reminds us and he says, if Christ has not been raised, what? Your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. You still have to deal with your sin before a holy God. And he goes on and he says, if all you have is a Savior who hasn't risen, you're to be pitied. Because you have no hope for the problem, the biggest problem that we all face, and that's our sin before God. And so this resurrection thing, what we celebrate every single Sunday, what we stop and celebrate today, is a profound event for our faith. And that's, I think, why Paul goes on and he hinges it to the historical reality. Notice how he goes on and he gives the list of all these witnesses. He appeared to Cephas and then the 12 and more than 500. Paul is writing at that time to the Corinthians and he's saying, you can go check this out. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to listen to rumor. You can go historically check it out. It's interesting how many people have tried through the ages to go and say, that's not possible that a man would raise from the dead. But as we look at the historical resurrection of Jesus, we realize that it is a fact of history. It's authenticated through these testimonies that we have here. Consider our calendar. It's impacted our calendar that we work upon. And so when Paul goes back, he's saying, check this out, because this foundational event, the burial and the resurrection of Christ, is coming. It's interesting. All through the scriptures, we're told that an eternal renewal is coming. And we look forward to that when Christ will return again. Remember the second coming? He has come once. He was crucified, buried, and raised again. But all through Scripture, we have this hope of another coming of Christ. And that will be a glorious coming. But what I find is sometimes I look back to the first coming of Christ, and then the tyranny of the urgent, the day-to-day life weighs on you. You know, having to wear masks, having to deal with which vaccine do I get, how do I live with all the hassles of life. I mean, does it not overwhelm us at times? Yes, it does. But what Paul is encouraging us here is look to the resurrection of Christ and look to the coming return of that risen Savior to give you hope day in and day out. And so let's take a look at some of the truths that he has for us here and how the resurrection of Christ helps us clarify what is truly important in our day-to-day everyday grind of life, if you'll allow me. Because as we live each day, we have to face all kinds of things. How many of y'all have family? And everything's just perfect and smooth and no hassles. Yeah, right. No, there are relational issues in our life. There are situational issues. Is it vaccine issues or health issues or... It's amazing how many things pop up in this fallen, messed up world. There's the simple physical struggles as we get older. And we deal with bodies that are breaking down. And it's so easy to be consumed with the here and now as the essence of our life. But what Paul is bringing forth in 1 Corinthians 15, he is reminding you and me that Christ's resurrection reminds us this is not all there is. This is just a piece of it. And in fact, eternity is what matters. You know, it's so often in the American church, sometimes we lose sight of the power of the resurrection and what the Scriptures teach us concerning eternity and our fellowship with God because of what Christ has done. There are many who would say, oh, yeah, the Bible tells you, you know, you can have your best life now through Christ. I sure hope I'm not getting the best life now through Christ. That Christ promises so much more. His work on the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection has set us free from the curse of sin. Amen? But it also has promised us the hope of living forever with our glorious God, to be set free from the power of sin, the difficulties. And so we see that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection provides a solution that we need. It gives us victory over that thing that continues to hinder your life and my life. Think about how many things in your life are affected by sin. I lived up in New York for 8 years. I had a car that within 8 years, a salt ate it apart, and literally the fenders were falling off. That's one of the effects of the fall. Now, that's a practical thing that we look at in the physical way, but think about how many things through the effects of the fall on our personal lives, in relationships, in our physical bodies, that we find the results of sin, not a specific sin, but the overall effect of our rebellion against God has cursed this world. And we deal with that in the here and now. And Christ's resurrection up out of the grave reminds us, remember folks, he has solved the problem, but you currently live in the now and the not yet. The best is yet to come. Isn't that exciting that we have that hope? And so let's look at what Paul's argument is for Christ's solution to sin in three different ways. First, the past. Our faith in Christ, in his resurrection, sets us free from the condemnation of our sin. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. But Paul's argument is what? Christ has been raised. And so you are no longer in your sins. If you walk in faith, I love how Paul writes it in Romans chapter 8. It's a beautiful passage, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And he tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? We have no condemnation as we come before our God. And he goes on in verse 2 and he tells us, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you and me free in Christ from our law of sin and death. Isn't that great? That as we trust in Christ, we have what he writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God has made him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin to do what? Become sin for us. He takes our sin and then the resurrection so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's the great exchange. We give him our sin. He gives us his righteous record. So we stand free of the tyranny and the penalty of sin. And so, how does Christ's resurrection help us in our present day life? And what Paul is identifying for us, that Christ, our faith in Christ's work will radically change the way we approach our day-to-day responsibilities and the difficulties and the hassles of this fallen world. You see, when we live with a focus on Christ's resurrection, and we remember its eternal implications for every day, we're freed from living in the here and the now. We don't have to get discouraged or disappointed when our efforts don't bring about the momentary pleasures that we so often seek. Or when people don't recognize what you've done. You ever had that? And you're so disappointed. It's like, couldn't they just say thank you? Remember, God is looking. And he will look at what we do for his glory. Not to earn merit, but that he might commend us because we are his. And with an eternal resurrection perspective, we can have the motivation to stay focused on God's big purpose. See, often we look at our own lives and we zero in on, you know, planet Mark, population 1. Y'all serve me now. No, it's this world, you, I, were created for what? His glory. Remember our shorter catechism question number 1? What's man's chief end? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the gospel. Christ's resurrection brings us back to that reminder of that hope of the here and the now, that I was created for his glory. And the neat part is, as I engage in God's grand purpose for the universe to bring glory to his name, I get to enjoy it. When you fit in God's plan as he has ordained, there's amazing joy and peace that is found in that. And we are also freed from being discouraged by the hassles of this world because we know this is not all there is. That's pretty awesome. And we're reminded that though Christ was raised from the dead, he then ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father, Hebrews 10:12 teaches that wonderful truth. But God didn't leave us alone. You remember what Jesus said when he was here? In John 14:26, he says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." So when Christ ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he doesn't just leave us to flounder all by ourselves, does he? He sends the power of the Spirit to dwell with us. And as Jesus said in John 14:26, he, the Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. So the Spirit makes God's Word come alive in your life and in my life. And one to another as we share it with one another. The Spirit helps us stay on task with God's agenda. The Spirit helps us not to sin. Now some are going, "What? But it seems like I just keep falling back into sins." But look at the promise that we have. Paul tells us in Galatians 5:16, "I say, walk by the Spirit." And do you remember what? "And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Oh. So this gift that God has given me of the Holy Spirit allows me to walk and not gratify the flesh. Or Paul writes in Romans 15:13, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." What a gift God has given to us. So we can live in the here and the now by the power of the Spirit and have joy and peace and no longer be bound to sin. What about our future hope? Well, our faith and our knowledge of Christ's resurrection reminds us of the hope that is yet to come, the hope in heaven, because we know that Christ is going to return again. And at that consummation, he sets those who believe in him free forever from sin. That's what Paul is talking about. Look at verse 24 of chapter 15. "Then comes the end, where he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet." And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so when Christ consummates all things, poof, death is put away. The world will be recreated. New heavens, new earth. How awesome is that? And we know that Christ was raised at the first resurrection. But let us not forget the coming resurrection, the resurrection for all believers. I think over this past year, we've lost two of our beloved saints. And yes, we miss them. But we know that they will be raised again. And at the consummation, all those of faith will be resurrected out of this horrible, broken, and groaning world. And at that point, we'll be able to live forever in a world of righteousness, peace, and harmony. There'll be no more viruses. There'll be no more, "Do you have your vaccine card?" No more suffering, no more death, no more sin. But we will live as we originally created. The garden is restored. And we will have hope as we live with our resurrected Savior. And so that is Paul's reminder in this beloved chapter. And his argument is this: if Jesus didn't rise the first time, then there's no second resurrection. There's no hope. But we know that Christ has risen. And that's a reminder of the power of the resurrection, what we celebrate at Easter, the power of believing in the resurrected Savior. And as Paul says, we are no longer people that need to be pitied. Why? Because Christ is risen. And that's important. And so remember these simple truths of the work of Christ. One, as we have faith in him, we are set free from the penalty of our sins. Two, we're enabled to live victoriously in the here and the now by the power of the Spirit that he has sent to us. So yes, we can walk in God's Spirit for his glory each and every day. And third, we can look forward to a wonderful future with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. We can have a hope of a bright future with God without the power of and the penalty of death. And so here's the questions for you today. It's fun that I see all the bright spring colors that people are wearing. And it's always good to see the faces, especially today, that we have so many new faces that are back after all of this craziness of the virus. But here's the question. What will you do with Easter when today's over? What will you do tomorrow? What will you do with Easter when a particular sin looks so attractive to you? Oh, come on, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? That old flesh rears its ugly head, doesn't it? And you feel weak, you feel unable to fight that sin. Let the resurrection of Christ, the remembrance of Easter, strengthen you. What will you do with Easter when someone, perhaps even someone who is close to you, decides to betray you? Oh, that would never happen. That's part of this world, isn't it? Will thoughts of vengeance enter your heart? Or will you be able to remember, you know, I can forgive as I have been forgiven in Christ? That's the power of the resurrection. What will you do with Easter when maybe you're struggling in a marriage relationship? Maybe it seems impossible to love someone in your family. And you know God's commanded that. Will you be able to walk in the power of the Spirit and say, I will love them because God has loved me? What will you do with Easter when you're laying in your bed and those stinking thinking thoughts come? Y'all ever get that? Yeah. They come into your mind. Come back to the resurrection. Remember what Christ has made it possible. You know what? I can face tomorrow. Yeah, things look really dismal and bleak. Can you imagine how it felt for the apostles between the day of burial and the third day when Christ raised? How dismal and bleak it was? How dark it must have felt? You and I will find those times. How do we get out of it? We look to the resurrection, a proven historical fact. A truth that God has declared again and again. And so let these answers of the resurrection inspire you. Let this day of celebration, when we're all decked out and we're all saying, He is risen, be the strength. As we've sung these wonderful, glorious, upbeat songs today, and it's exciting. I love the look on so many people's faces. It's like, yes, I believe this, and I love it. And we can get all pumped up like at a game. But remember verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Here's what I want to leave you with. Notice what Paul writes there. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, it's an inclusive term there. It's those who believe in Christ. What's he tell us? Three things. Be steadfast and immovable. Second, be abounding in the work of the Lord. And third, know that in the Lord your labor's not in vain. Paul doesn't leave you hanging. He gives you practical application. So remember it this way. Amidst all the difficulties and the unpredictable realities of life, you live in a fallen world. But Christ's resurrection should comfort you each and every day. He says, be steadfast, be immovable. Why can you do that? Because Christ is risen. Ask yourself every single day, ask yourself when you have a crisis or a difficulty, how will I approach this differently because I serve a risen Savior? You'd be amazed what that does for your outlook. Even when you don't understand the world around you, y'all get all the things that are happening in the world? I don't. I mean, some days we just go, I don't know what's going on. But do you know the one who does? The God of heaven and earth who sent his son Jesus to be crucified, buried, and resurrected for you. Have hope in that. Because the resurrection of Christ is a reality. Stand on the reality of the risen Christ. I like how Paul puts it in Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. So I can turn to my heart that's not thinking right and go, you know what? I'm accepted in Christ. It's all good. Because this world is not all there is. And so I can have comfort in this life. Secondly, Paul writes and he says, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And basically, here's the deal. What I think he's saying here, if Christ is risen from the dead, that means he reigns in power. And he is coming back again. And so you know what? Every single one of you, me, we should be the most motivated of people on this earth. Quit trying to just get by. You ever do that?
I'll just get by each day.
I'm like the Dunkin' Donuts guy.
Time to make the donuts. I'll do it.
Really? Realize it, that you have the power of Christ's Spirit in you if you are a believer. You can, and you are called by God to help others, to point others to the hope that there is, and you'll be amazed what that does for you when you do that. You are equipped to be an ambassador with the greatest news ever given. I love how Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anybody, if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. All the old things, they're gone. They're passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, the resurrected Savior makes a difference, doesn't it? And he says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I'm accepted in the beloved. God loves me. And that's not going to change. And he has given us. Let me remind you who us is. That's you and me if you believe in Christ, right? He has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. That is, as if God in Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has also committed to us the word of reconciliation. So then you are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through you, through us. Isn't that neat? We're ambassadors. Recognize that you were called to tell others, to give them the hope you have in the risen Savior. And thirdly, Paul finishes with those beautiful words, knowing that in the Lord your labor's not in vain. Sometimes we get tired. And here's the deal. If Christ's resurrection guarantees us eternity, then what Paul is reminding us here, our suffering and our ministry for the Lord in this world, though it may not always feel the best, right? It's not in vain. Somehow, some way, God is using that for his glory. The older I get, the more decades I live on this planet, I finally have figured out that sometimes God takes suffering and difficulty and pain and he flips it and he turns it into a beautiful thing. I'm just never cease to be amazed as I look around. So often it feels like we're spinning our wheels. Sometimes we as a church, we go, what, we're so small. You know what? Christ calls us to be faithful. To be walking in the power of his Spirit and leave the results to God. That's what we're called to do. Because Christ's resurrection guarantees that when Christ comes again, we're going to be rewarded for his work. And we are simply to walk in faith. And so my encouragement to you, to me, us as a body of believers is, let's continue to worship him faithfully. Let's preach and teach the good news. Let's continue to celebrate the sacraments every week. And remember that Christ has blessed us because he is risen again. And we just simply need to be ambassadors for him. Remember, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.